We're going to preach this morning out of Ephesians chapter 4. And before we actually take our text this morning, I would like to have a word of prayer with you and ask the Lord to really, really help us to understand and apply what we're learning today. Father, we bow before you now, desperate. Lord, I know the thoughts about the passage that we are discussing and preaching today have been in my mind for a long time. The instruction of the passage has been your instruction to me for a long time. And now, Father, you desire that we speak about these matters and preach on this passage of Scripture. But Heavenly Father, just because you've taught me something in my own life about this doesn't qualify me to stand here and help the folks that have come to hear from you today. And I can simply testify that what we're going to talk about today is true, but we knew that because these are your words. I'm simply a confirming witness to the truth that you already proclaimed, that you have given us. I ask you now, Father, to do several things. First of all, prepare our hearts and minds to be able to hear and receive these things. We know distractions, perhaps even sometimes the devil can confuse the message, can distort the message, can get our minds off of the message. I pray that won't happen today. You'll intervene and help us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Father, so we can receive the message, but also understand how to apply it with enough skill that if we're already doing this, we can be encouraged to continue. And if we're not, we can be encouraged that we can get started and begin to see the changes that you're making in our lives because of what you have said in your Scripture. Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior, we pray that though this is not a gospel message, we'll mention the gospel in it. And we pray your Holy Spirit will stir them that they too need to be saved and that they will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. For we ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22, 23, and 24. We've mentioned this passage of Scripture in preaching about other matters. I've actually preached the text before, but there's an application of it today that I want you to hear that I believe is different than what you may have heard before and should help us all in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation. And please understand something. When the Bible uses the word conversation, not talking solely about somebody opening his mouth and speaking and then you replying. That certainly is conversation. But when the Bible uses the word conversation, it's all encompassing. It's not just about what we say, but it's also about what we do. It happens to be addressing our behavior. And so when he says that you put off concerning the former conversation, what you said, how you acted, what you did, what you thought, put that off. The old man, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which, notice the next word, is. He didn't say was because he doesn't change. Is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let me give you a picture, first of all, of what you're seeing in this passage of Scripture, and then we'll begin to make some application, and we'll begin to expound the text a little bit. So, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an old man. That's you. That's your carnal nature. That's what you brought to the table up until the time that the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. That's all you were, is that man. And when you get saved, the Bible calls that man your old man because you're going to depart from his ways of doing things, and you're going to start living, or should start living, with what Paul calls the new man. And this new man is somebody that wasn't there before you got saved. This new man is the new you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There's a man that's a new you. But the thing about it is, this man, which is created by God in righteousness, something you didn't have before you got saved, and listen, true holiness, not what you pretended to be when you pretended to be holy, but what you are now in Christ, this person is here. So at any moment, you have the opportunity to develop this in this new man, or to wallow in the ways of this old man. I can remember one time I was fishing with a preacher. He'd been saved for 50 years and preached for most of that time. And he said something while we were on the boat, and I looked at him and I was like, wow, where did that come from? And he looked at me, old man, brother. This guy, this old man, is incorrigible. You can't change the corruption that's in him. What happened when Adam and Eve sinned is that sin infiltrated the human race, and every person that is born, that's how you got here, by the way, every person that is born has this thing of sin and ultimately death in us. And I just want you to know, your mother may have called you a little angel, but there's some people that know you, and they would say you're a little devil, or maybe a big devil. So this thing, this old man is corrupt, and he's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In other words, it's not wrong in and of itself to lust for something. For instance, in a few minutes, you're going to start lusting for a hamburger or something. All right, that's not bad. The fact that you have hunger in you reminds you that you need to eat. And if you eat properly, you nourish your body. And if you nourish your body, you keep living, etc., etc., etc. So in and of itself, that's not bad. But to have deceitful lust is then for you to eat the second pecan pie with ice cream after that hamburger, and all of the french fries. That will kill you, okay? And you say, yeah, but it's so good. It is good, and the old man loves those kind of things. But if you let those things, those lusts that are in you, have their way, you're going to get into all kind of trouble. I shouldn't say gonna. You probably already have some experience with those matters, okay? So that's the old man. The new man is not anything like the old man. He is created by God. This old man was born in the generations of Adam. This one is formed in Christ. And so in this one, there's righteousness. And I'm not talking about anything you can manifest or stir up or do in your own life. This is the righteousness of Jesus Christ that was given to you by Him. He never sinned, and He gave you that righteousness when you got saved. But you're going to have to learn how to live in that righteousness, yield to that righteousness, and that changes you. So that righteousness, and he says true holiness, and that's where, again, you don't dress right, act right, talk right just to impress people. You have changed, and there, like Peter said, be ye holy for I am holy. There is a work of God going on in your life where you truly are something holy that you weren't back there when you were the old man. Okay, so those two guys are right here today. Now, the Bible tells us that when you were saved, this old man was crucified with Christ doctrinally. But I'm going to tell you, lots of this in here run, as an old preacher friend of mine used to say, run errands for that corpse. It's like he's hanging around on your back and he goes with you everywhere you go. And he has a tendency to rise up out of that tomb every once in a while and bug you. Okay? Now, the Bible here says you got to put off the former conversation, the old man, according to the deceitful. You got to put that guy off and put this guy on. All right, this morning, I got dressed. Thank God. That's it. I got dressed. I put on these that I'm wearing now. Okay? So he says you've got to put on the new man. That's, in other words, this process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man is not automatic. You put off the old man. That's an effort. That's something you've done. And you put on the new man. That's something similar to what I had to do when I put these clothes on today. Now, the key to being able to successfully put off the old man and put on the new man is sandwiched right between those two verses. Ephesians 4:22, put off the old man. Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man. And right between them, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So this process of putting off the old man, putting on the new man, requires a mental renewal. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is the source of a lot of the trouble we have. Right up here, I'm pointing at my head. The mind is actually something that seems to consume both what's in your head and what's in your heart. But for the sake of illustration, I'll just say up here, you got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You don't know how to think like a Christian. You don't know how to walk like a Christian. You know nothing about the Christian life when you first get saved. Okay? You don't. You got to be programmed. And I know where the program is. Somebody wrote the program. It's called the Holy Bible, and you get that in there and it starts renewing your mind, okay? Why does your mind, the spirit of your mind, need to be renewed? Well, there's several reasons. One is your carnal nature. Carnal nature. Some of you like chili con carne. What is that? The meat. All right, so a carnal nature, that's this flesh. My flesh is corrupt, and so is yours. Work in the yard, don't take a shower, get up in the morning, don't use deodorant, don't use cologne, go to work. Behold, he stinketh. That carnal nature is corrupt. And the Bible says about the mind of that carnal nature, this: the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the carnal mind is enmity with God. The enmity with God. What does that mean? That thing is not like God. For it is not subject. It is not subject to the law of God. Listen, neither indeed can be. That's how messed up our minds are when we come to Christ. They don't think right. Jesus or God said in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You don't think like me. And thank God I don't think like you. And so this carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you've got to pull that off. You've got to put that off, because if you use that mind, that natural mind, to try to work in the spiritual realm of the new man, the natural man understandeth not the things that are of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. You can't do it. Why else, he said, why else do you have to put off that old man? Not only because of its carnal mind, its carnal nature, but because of the thoughts that have been in there before you got saved. You know, your thoughts and my thoughts, I'll tell you what, thank God we don't have to have a video of what we were thinking about before we got saved. Amen. I'm telling you, just amen. And it's kind of like that song, how can it be? I mean, the Bible says, in other words, whatever you ended up doing it by way of sin, your thoughts had something to do with influencing how you lived. The Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you see somebody that commits some sin, and you've seen them around church, and you're like, how in the world did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. While the preacher was up here teaching, and the preacher was up here preaching, they were sitting in the pew thinking about something other than what they were hearing. And that thought process developed over a period of time until what was going through the mind came out in the actions. And so that thought life has been an influence in the old man's life, and that thought life has to change. You have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'll tell you something else. Your imaginations, these are not the points of the sermon, it's just the things that influence the way you think, the things that influence your mind, your imaginations. Do you know why God destroyed everything that had the breath of life in Noah's flood? Because the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And violence was in the earth, and everybody, everything was affected. After the flood, they get off the boat. Noah offers a sacrifice to God, and God smells a sweet savor and says, you know what, I'm not going to do that again. Why? The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The imaginations shot, the thoughts shot, the carnal mind, enmity against God. Now, the bad thing about imagination is that what's that word? Image. Imaginations are reinforced by images. You probably could have guessed that, right? Some of us like to use our computers for a concordance. And one of the concordances that's out there that works well is one called Bible Gateway. If you're on Bible Gateway now, on the left-hand panel, ads. Right-hand panel, ads. Bottom, ads. And they change. And I'm sitting there typing something, all of a sudden my computer starts talking to me and I can't even tell where it's coming from. It's one of those ads. But all of those are images, and they've gotten real clever because those are not still images. They move, so your eye is trying to concentrate on the verse of Scripture you're looking for, but over here, this something going on, over here, something going on. It's all designed to get your attention and get, listen, the image in your eye. And you get the image in your eye, now there is a picture that goes with the advertisement, and that picture will come back in your imagination. So if you've ever been exposed in any format like television, movies, videos, magazines, books, theaters, whatever the case may be, you know what happens? You got images in there. And those images come back. And they're very powerful. And they're all in the carnal mind. They're all in the carnal mind. They're all in the old man. The carnal mind, the thoughts, the imaginations. Some of you have been saved a good long while. And sometimes when your brain or your body or whatever is relaxed, something you did, something you saw, some image that's in your head from 30 years ago. Yes or no? Yeah. Imaginations. They're in the old man. They're programmed in there. They're programmed in there. I'll tell you something else. The world, the influences of the world. You know, the Bible says before you got saved, you went according to the course of this world. Now you're getting on course with God, the world. And so Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Listen. By the renewing of your mind. He recognized that the influences of the world, education in and of itself is just neutral until it's education that informs you incorrectly. Either purposefully or as a lie or as a misunderstanding or whatever it may be, that gets in there. That gets into your head. That gets into your thinking. And he says, you got to listen. Be not conformed to this world. The old man is conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So your mind has to go through a transformation. away from the images, away from the carnality, away from the thoughts, away from the imaginations. There has to be a transformation in your mind. I realize the day you get saved, you are saved. The day you're saved, you're a new creature. But this man is in his infancy when he first comes to Christ, or she first comes to Christ. And so he says, put that on, put that on, put that on. And every time you do, listen, be renewed by being renewed in the spirit of your mind continuously. Continuously. Then there are other things too that really affect the work of your mind. Drugs, they call them mind-altering drugs. Drugs, alcohol, right? Addictive things. Childhood trauma. Boy, that'll put a print in there. And he says, you got to put off that old man and you got to put on that new man. That's effort. Now, I stand in there in the bedroom. I could look at these clothes on the end of the bed all day long. And I'd still be in there looking at those clothes. Or I can put them on. And then I'm ready to go out again, thank God. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the downfall of many Christians. And because we got many Christians here today, I'm going to be addressing something, no doubt, that has affected some, if not all, of us here. I'll turn around and face like you are. I'll look in the mirror and say, we have been affected by this. Listen, the downfall of many Christians, particularly ones that grow up in church, in this process of putting off the old man and putting on the new man, is that the old man learns ways to dress. The old man learns ways to talk. The old man learns ways to walk to make you think you're looking at the new man when in fact this is the old man in new garb. Just stew on that a moment. I don't want to leave that point too soon. The worst thing in the world that can happen to you is to get that old man to try to look like what the new man is supposed to be. Because the old man, as you see, has nothing in common with the new man except name and address and telephone number. Y'all both reside in the same place. But that guy is not anything like this guy. I've watched it. I mean, being in the ministry, I watched it in myself. I grew up in the Catholic Church, as many of you know. So I am used to being told by somebody, you do it this way. Kneel down, stand up, genuflect, eat this, take that, don't eat this, blah, 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 blah. Pray this. Okay? So I had all that wired into me. Now I come into salvation and I'm in an independent Baptist church. I am looking for somebody to tell me what to do. And they say, men should cut their hair this way. Okay, cut my hair that way. Men should sit in this proximity to a woman they're not married to. Okay, so sit in that proximity next to a woman that I'm not married to. And they should dress like this. And you know what? That's the old man learning how to conform to that locale. And there is nothing of the new man developing when the old man is pretending to be the new man. Everything about the appearance of that old man dressed up like the new man makes you think he's the new man. He's not. You know what he is? He is a Pharisee. He is a hypocrite, just like the Pharisees were. Everything about the outward appearance gives you the impression that the inside looks like the outside. And Jesus said to the Pharisees and to the company of people who could hear him, you want to know what's on the inside of what looks good on the outside? Dead men's bones. Extortion. Filthiness. You want to know what these Pharisees are, he says to them and to those that are around? Vipers and serpents. And buddy, you talk about getting mad. You want to know how you knew those weren't new men, those were old men? As soon as they heard the truth about what was on the inside, after pretending that everything on the outside was the inside, they killed him. They killed him. You can't. That guy cannot live, but he can pretend to live the life of the new man. The inside, the mind of that man that can put on the new man's clothes and pretend to be the new man when he's really the old man, is a mind that really gets warped. Because he's thinking like the old man, but he's sitting there thinking, now what can I say that it'll sound like I'm the new man? I can remember getting into conversations with people after I first got going. They'd say something, and I could not answer genuinely without thinking in my mind, now what should I say that will impress them the most that I know what I'm talking about? And then after I'd get home, I was like, boy, if I'd have said that, they'd have really thought I was something. That's the old man. You say, you didn't do that. Yeah, I did. I'm the preacher. You got to act good. I want to tell you something. That is the most miserable existence on earth. You know why a lot of Christians, after they've put that charade on for a while, you know what happens? They get tired of it. It's bondage, really. It's bondage, really. And after a while, they're just, you know what they do? They just strip off those robes of their own righteousness and go into what looks like a world of hell. And you're like, that kid was so good in church, or that preacher was so good in the pulpit, and how in the world did he get caught up with this? His mind never changed. There was no renewing of the mind or the spirit of the mind. None of that ever changed. And what happened is, after a while, you just get sick and tired of playing the charade, so you just let it all hang out. These days, we're seeing more and more preachers fall publicly with more and more collateral damage to the pew. You say, how in the world is that happening? I'll tell you exactly how it's happening. It's the old man pretending to be the new man. And the mind has not been renewed. If you don't renew the mind, you're not going to succeed in this new man becoming all that God wants you to be. The new man looks back at the old man and says, you know what? You are a stinker. I was reading over here in the Bible, and I read about you. You know what? You are wicked. You know what I think about you? Trash, corrupt, deceitful, wicked, fool, simple. And that's not all. You say, well, you wouldn't. Yeah, you would. Paul said that when he was talking about Jesus Christ dying for sinners, he said, of whom I am chief. Not was. I am chief. He, you know what? You are not going to fool me, deceitful old man. Not going to. I have to be a new man. And in order for that to happen, the thoughts have to change. The mind has to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Bible says the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. May I tell you something? You're sitting here right now, you're hearing this message, and you're getting really nervous because you know you walked in here as an old man wearing new man's clothes. You know it. You're sitting in your pew right now going, God, I wish it was 12 o'clock so he'd shut up and I could go eat my hamburger and french fries and my two pieces of pecan pie with ice cream. Ah! And I sure hope nobody around here smokes me out and finds out I'm full of dead men's bones. And you're sitting here so concerned about what people around you that know you are thinking about you, and you have lost sight of something. God above knows everything. Your thoughts are naked and open before Him. He knows what's going on inside of you right now. And He knows what's going on inside of me right now. And the Bible says the thoughts of the wicked are abomination to the Lord. That's what he thinks. He said, well, that's not good. Good. Then you know what you don't want to do? You want to change those thoughts. If he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You change the thoughts and renew the mind on the inside. It will come out spiritually on the outside, and you won't have to be the one that did it. He does it. The thoughts, the Bible also says, the thoughts of the righteous are right. Ah, that's what I want. I want a mind that thinks right. There's that man in the Gadarenes full of all those devils. He casts the devils out. The pigs all die. The town comes back to run Jesus out of town, and the man is sitting there, clothed and, listen, in his right mind. That's what I want. A right mind. Thinks right, does right, acts right, not because it's to impress you, because God's done something with his righteousness that is producing true holiness, and you don't have to pretend to be anything. It's what you are now. The renewing of your mind, here's the problem, doesn't happen overnight. That man in the Gadarenes, he was in his right mind. That's the exception. The renewing of your mind doesn't happen overnight. And let me tell you, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, the inward man is renewed, listen, day by day. Do you take a shower often? Do you brush your teeth every day? Do you wear clothes every day? I hope so. Thank God. Well, that's the same way it is. You're just putting the new man on every day, renewed, right? Day by day, by day by day. It's a slow process. Day by day, day by day. I've mentioned to you before, and it's like this. Anytime you decide, okay, I'm going to change my lifestyle concerning the way I eat. That's not going to happen overnight. I'm going to start working this body out so that I can maintain it better, okay? That doesn't happen overnight. You will hurt yourself bad if you try that overnight. It's going to be a process that goes on day by day over a long period of time. And once you finally get there, guess what? You got to keep doing it day by day or you go back to where you were. That's why diets don't work. I'm going to starve myself to death until I lose 50 pounds. Woohoo! We left 50 pounds. Let's go get 2 pieces of pecan pie with ice cream and celebrate. And now you got 60 pounds to lose. What happened? It didn't become the day by day. What does the Lord give us? What does the Lord give us that allows us, our minds, to be renewed? The spirit of our mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here they are. You ready? Number one. So we're on the same page. Got it? Is there anybody here that would love to be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Here's what you do. Number one, cast down imaginations. Cast down imaginations. You might as well look at it. It's in. I'm going to quote it, but you might as well look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, 5, 6. Those imaginations that are in there, those thoughts that are in there, those things have got to come down. They're coming down, boys. Walls of Jericho. We're going to surround this place and stomp it till the walls come down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Every one of us here still has those fleshly bodies. Here we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. God gets involved in this. To the pulling down of, listen, strongholds, those old thoughts, that old carnal mind, those old imaginations, that old worldly way, those are strongholds in there. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity how many? Every thought to the obedience of Christ and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So here I had on this side the old man. And here I had over here on this side the new man. I guess I should have reversed them because people are used to reading right to left. The old man should be there, but you can bear with me. I don't want to change it now. You'd be all confused. I get saved right here, and that old man has all that history, and this new man has none. And he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so I look down, and I see those imaginations that I've had, and I'm like, oh, man, how do I get these thoughts out of my head? And you go to God with that spiritual weapon of the Holy Spirit, of God's presence in your life, preaching, teaching, other things. And what happens is God gets a hold of those strongholds and starts bringing them down because they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God You're trying to get to know him, but the thoughts keep coming. He said, I'm going to pull those down, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That doesn't happen overnight, but it happens with one thought, and then another thought, then another imagination, and this one, which is on equal footing with the knowledge of God, now gets pulled down a little bit more, and you keep doing this day after day after day after day, like the little train. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And eventually one day, all of a sudden, those things that you used to think about that popped in your head so freely, they were like popcorn popping in a microwave bag. Now they're not coming in there so often. Why? God's got captivity. Jesus has taken them captive. And then he says, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Back here, when the thought came into your mind, as soon as it came in your mind, you had to do it. Your mind said, drink, and you drank. Your mind said, what a something bad, cuss, and you cussed. Look at something you're not supposed to see, and you looked at it. Just the first inkling that the thought came into your mind. And then you're working on it, walking in the Lord, and the Lord's in there, and His righteousness is changing you, and you're becoming this true holiness. And one day you're like, I don't do that anymore. And you have suddenly revenged all those years of disobedience as your obedience is fulfilled. You're walking in faith as a new creature in Christ, and those imaginations are not controlling you. Christ is controlling them. That is so much better than pretending to be something that you're not. Amen. Amen. Casting down, cut off. Listen, casting down imaginations. What are you going to do? Okay, let's say this. Let's say that commercials about buying a new car keep getting you, and every time you see one, you got to go buy a new car. I'm safe here. I know nobody's doing that. Look at the parking lot. Okay, I'm safe. But let's say every time that thought comes in your mind, I got to go down to the dealership and talk about a new car. Okay? And then all of a sudden what happens? You're casting out those imaginations. Let me tell you something. I'm going to help you. Listen, you got to put off the old man. Turn off the commercials. Oh, my God. I won't be able to see the new cars that are out there. I don't know if I can handle that. After a while, the new man's like, you know what? You don't need that new car. You don't need it. And you're like, I'm good with that. I don't need that. He said, what happened? Well, you quit feeding the input. Quit feeding the input. Do you understand? A lot of people are like, I'm still struggling with all this. Turn the stupid TV off. Turn the music off. Quit reading those books. Cancel your subscription to that magazine. Whatever. You gotta, listen, if you keep putting it in there and the carnal mind keeps feasting on it, you're gonna still have trouble with it. Hello. What are you preaching against? David said this, I will put no wicked thing before mine eyes. If the imaginations and thoughts that go with it are bothering you, turn them off. I have to be careful when I'm preaching these because I'm not trying to say something and then you go do it and you think, oh, I've really done what the preacher did because he preached about that and I'm not doing that anymore. This is all between you and God as you grow. Do you understand? But years and years ago when things were getting great with social media and you could use it for advertising back in those days and all that. Somebody said, you really need a Facebook page. This is my experience. Okay, that's cool. Cool, look at there. I can put a picture of myself and the whole world can see it. Wow, that old high school buddy. Whoa, I hadn't heard from him in 50 years. And blah, 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 blah. And pretty soon now you got all these people and things like that. And here's what happened to me. This is my story. It's very important for me when I go to sleep at night to do a wind down. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes maybe I'm watching a 12-minute replay of a football game. I'm just winding down. But a lot of times I like to listen to the Bible and look at it. Right? I'm getting sleepy. I'm going to go to bed. I wasn't doing that anymore because the last thing I wanted to do when I was on Facebook was post something to see if anybody else out there in the world would see it and have a reply by the morning. So now I'm going to go to bed. First thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I go into the kitchen with bleary eyes. I get this certain container that has coffee in it and a filter, and I make my coffee. And I sit and I have a prayer that I pray and Bible that I begin to read. Well, when I wake up in the morning, I get my coffee and I go right to the computer to see who replied to my Facebook post. And oh, wow, oh boy, 3 weeks. That's all it was. And then I told my wife, I can't do this. She said, why? I said, I am more concerned about the post I'm making at night before I go to bed and the reply I've received first thing in the morning than I am my time with the Lord. I can't do this. It's not helping the new man. And so I got off of it. That's my story. I'm not telling you that should be your story, and I'm not telling you that's how you should be. I'm telling you, I'm responsible, and I noticed the old man was deriving a lot of pleasure from that, and the new man was starving to death because of that, and I said, can't do that anymore. See, and so that's what I had to do in order to make sure that I'm right here where the new man needs to be to continue to be renewed day by day. Do you understand? So you have to look in your own life. You're responsible before God for what's going through your mind, what's going through your imaginations, what's going through your heart. What of your old man is coming in here pretending that you weren't up till 2 o'clock this morning watching a movie that you really should have been to bed at 11:30 so you wouldn't be yawning right now in the middle of this sermon? Or something like that. I mean, you know, just whatever. Right? You have to be, you're in charge of that. You and God sort that out. He tells you in what order He wants you to renew the things that are going on in your mind. I gave you that illustration. That's not to make some statement about social media or anything else. I used to preach all that, but you're on it anyway. So I'm just telling you, when I saw it was feeding the old man and it wasn't feeding the new man, I said, no more of that. It's got to go. And you have to do the same thing in your life with whatever else is working on your mind. Right? That's what you do. Titus 3:5. It's a spiritual work. As he said, these weapons are not carnal, the mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Titus 3:5. Listen very carefully. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture. It's about salvation. But watch this. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, because you don't have any. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration, watch it, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So casting down imaginations is one thing, and not feeding them with any more food is one thing. But then the Spirit of God gets in there. The Spirit of God is the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The beautiful thing is, this is not a battle you fight on your own. The Holy Spirit gets in there, and the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit getting in there is that you get more and more acquainted with His leadership and less acquainted with the pull of your carnal mind. That's what happens. More and more acquainted with the Spirit's leading, more and more acquainted with the Spirit's renewing than of those thoughts that are running in imaginations that are running through the carnal mind. There's a yielding to the Spirit of God that says, you know what? I am going to do it as you show me how. Because you are the inworking of the hands of the potter in my life to make this vessel, this new man, conform to the image of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to trust you to do it. And it is an amazing thing. When you yield your mind, your imagination, your thoughts to the Spirit of God, He rewires the circuitry. That's all I can say. He goes in. It's a spiritual work. I would say it's a mystery, but it's not a mystery so much. He just looks at the way you're wired. Some of us, our eyes see something immediately. Our imagination is triggered, then our emotions stir up and we feel compelled to do something about it. And He says, I got to rewire that. Next time your eyes see it, we don't want your brain to think what you're thinking and your emotions to respond the way you're responding. We got to rewire the circuitry. The Lord called that the single eye. I want to see things the way God sees them, and I only want to see what God wants me to see. The Holy Spirit's doing that work in you. And when he does that, he's getting how you function and how your mind works to change. And I'm looking in my own life after living for years as a Christian and preaching, I'm like, I don't even think like that anymore. Who did that? I didn't do it. I wasn't capable. I am who I am. But the Spirit of God says, I've got liberty to work in there and do what I want to do. Let me just tweak that and turn this and get rid of that and rewire this. And second, all of a sudden, where there was hatred, now there's compassion. Where there was proud wrath, now there's love. Where there was selfishness, now there's humility. Now there's a desire to serve. Where there was a desire to be served, now there's a desire to serve. We live in, as one preacher said just the other day, the most narcissistic society this world has ever known. Men are lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. God has to get inside of that head and rework it. And next thing you know, you're loving God. You don't really love yourself like that anymore. You say, what happened? God's Spirit did something in your life. He's working right now. So the renewing of the Holy Ghost, the casting down of your imagination, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, and one more thing, Colossians 3.10. There's three major things. You'll find others when you read your Bible. These are major things. The Holy Spirit, listen, when you're going over to Colossians 3.10, don't read it yet because I want to say one more thing. You remember when David confessed his sin to God about Bathsheba, Psalm 51? You remember that? Okay. Look this way. You'll get to Colossians 3 here in just a second, but I'm not going to preach it yet. I don't want you to miss something I should have said. I looked down at my notes. So I was like, oops, don't forget that. Psalm 51, David said this, create in me a clean heart, listen, and renew a right spirit within me. He had to get over that thing he'd gotten into. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us, listen, the spirit of fear. We're talking about being renewed in the spirit of your mind, right? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. That's a spiritual thing. And of love. That's a spiritual thing. And of a sound mind. That's a spiritual thing. The mind is sound. It thinks right now where it was under all those worldly carnal influences. Now it's thinking like God. God looks down and says, now you begin to think like me. My thoughts and your thoughts are lining up with each other. That's the work of the Spirit of God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's what David said. And the Holy Spirit does that. And then Colossians 3:10. This is the same thing about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Look what he says in verse 10, Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed, listen, in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You know what that is? The Bible gives you knowledge of God. You know nothing about God at all. People that say, oh yeah, God, the man upstairs, blah, 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 and they're not reading the Bible, they know nothing. That's just old man mimicking. But you know what, after you get to be a new man and your mind gets renewed and you get around somebody in an old man's clothes pretending to be a new man, you go, man, there's something stinky around here. Phew, ghastly dead man in those clothes. That's what Jesus saw in the Pharisees. He said, put the new man on, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's this book right here. You say, why should I read my Bible? Because, buddy, you don't know nothing till you know God. And he reveals himself in the pages of this book. And as you are renewed in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge, listen, in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, you become like him. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Okay, you want to be like him? I do. You know how little kids are when they got a successful daddy, a big daddy, you know, and all that kind of stuff. They're like, man, when I grow up, I want to be just like you, Dad. You know, and so the attorney's office now says Anderson and Sons. You know, and the guy says, I want to be just like you, Dad. And now the welding shop says, and Sons. They want to go out and be like Dad. They just love Dad. They want to be like Dad. You know what? I want to be like Dad. I want to be just like my Father, the Lord God, and just like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I grow up, that's what I want to say to Jesus. When I grow up, I want to be just like you, Jesus. Well, you get that in this book. You cannot get it any other way. And you read this book and you apply this book and you let the Holy Spirit talk to you out of this book. And you know what? You change. And now you are becoming in the image of Him that created Him. And nobody can do that for you but God through the pages of this book. That's why I don't stand up here and say, you know what you ought to do? You ought to do this. I don't know if you ought to do that or not. The Holy Spirit knows. You get in here and start being like Christ, nobody has to tell you what to do because you are doing what He wants you to do. And that's the key. And it's renewed in the spirit of your mind. Do you know that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ? He gave you that when you got saved. You get those imaginations cast down, renewing of the Holy Ghost, and renewed in the knowledge of after the image of Him that created Him. And you know what? You start thinking about things the way God does. You're spiritually minded. The Bible says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Listen, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I wake up in the morning these days and I say, die, sucker. You die. Jesus Christ died that I may live. I say to Jesus, I'm going to die now so you can live in me. And I don't want to run this. I'll ruin it. I already have. I saw what I can do. And I don't want any of that. I want to be in the image of God. That you say, oh, it's so hard to read this book. You know who says that? The old man. You start feeling that way, you check. You've been feeding that old guy and that old carnal flesh. I don't want anything to do with that Bible. I'm not even sure I want to go to church today. Stinker. That new man, look where the Bible is preached, buddy. He'll knock that door to get in and get more because he wants to be like God. So the battle really, among other things, takes place in the renewing of your mind. If you're not doing that between putting off the old man and putting on the new, you're fighting a losing battle. This has to change. Cast down those imaginations. Be renewed by the Holy Ghost. Be renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created you. And He'll make you just like Christ. You don't have to put on anything to impress other people. The God you love and the God you serve looked down there and said, that's my child right there. And more He's beginning to look like me. And that's a good thing. Father, we ask You please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to take these words You've recorded for us in the Scripture and teach us. Teach us. God, we want to be like You. But we know the old man, God, what a pretender. Sick and tired of that hypocrisy. Now, Father, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will be able to understand as we prayed in the beginning what we've heard and walk out here knowing exactly how to apply it. And we pray in time, in due time, and sooner than later, we begin to see those changes that come from Your righteousness, from Your true holiness, and delight in the things of the new man and rejoice that we can put that off the old man and put that guy in the grave where he belongs and we don't have to pretend anymore. God, please help us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I didn't preach the gospel this morning, but you get to where we're talking today by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. So I'll say this to you. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, but if you came here today and you really were inquiring about how to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want to be saved, I'll be standing out in the foyer greeting everybody when they leave. You walk up to me and say, preacher, tell me. I want to be saved. I want this old man to die and the new man to live. And we'll talk about it. For the most of us, and I imagine that's obviously the great majority of the crowd, I pray, dear Lord, that we will do. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. If you ever decide after today that you need some help with that, just want to talk it over, give us a call. You know how to get in touch with us. Glad to help any way that we can. No life to compare to the life of the new man. None.